The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. Jesus said to his disciples, "Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea, then that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and turns to you 7 times saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive him." The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come at once and recline at table'? Will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink'? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done what our duty.'" The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The disciples said to Jesus, "Increase our faith." And that's a noble gesture on their part, but I kind of wonder, what's their motivation for that? Do they? It's a wonderful prayer to have. Increase our faith, to be stronger in the faith that we have. But I just wonder about the disciples here, because we know the story of the disciples and some of the things that they've gone through. You know, they've been walking around with Jesus, traveling from place to place. They see what Jesus is able to do with such strong faith. The healings, the miracles, the walking on the water, the calming of the sea, all those things that Jesus had been doing. And they thought, well, if Jesus increases our faith, we can do those things too. And they see Jesus with all these followers, with all this, everybody wanting to be around him, that popularity that Jesus was gaining. And maybe they think, well, we can have that too if our faith is increased. So they say to Jesus, "Increase our faith." Now, I'm not sure if that's truly the motivation of them, but it is a good prayer to have. Increase our faith. You know, it's the disciples are looking maybe for bigger and better, and that just plays along with society or who we are just as people. That we always want bigger and better. If you want a bigger house, well, you build a bigger house, then you have a bigger heating bill and a cooling bill. You also have more stuff to clean. You get a bigger car. It probably has more bells and whistles. That just means more things to go wrong with the car, and then you won't get the good gas mileage you did with the smaller car. You have more money. Well, then you have people pestering you all the time for something. Or you worry about scams more often. Or you have more responsibility of what to do with it and how to invest it and all these other questions that go along with it. Bigger and better is not always better. It's not always helpful. But the disciples say, "Increase our faith. Increase our faith." And that is a good thing, to have your faith increased. But Jesus then doesn't say, "Yes, I'll do that. You'll be great disciples if I increase your faith in you." Rather, he says, "All you need is a little bitty piece. All you need is a little bitty faith to start out with, the size of a mustard tree, because it can grow, and it will grow, and it becomes very powerful. It becomes very helpful. It becomes what God intends you to be." And so, yes, we do want our faith to increase. We want to be stronger in our faith. We want to know more about God. We want to gain knowledge. We want to gain wisdom. We want to be better Christians. And so what does that take? It does take listening to the Holy Spirit, for that guiding of the Holy Spirit to be attuned to the gifts that you have been given by the Holy Spirit. But then the question becomes, what do we do with those gifts? Being a Christian is full-time service. Being a Christian means that we give it our all, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. It's not like we're on a clock that, you know, we do come to church, maybe Sunday school, throw a little bit in the offering plate, and we've done for the week, right? We're here. No, it's every day. Every day we are Christians. It's not like the doctor who's in the midst of an operation. The surgeon's there operating. He looks at his watch and says, oops, it's 5 o'clock. It's quitting time. It's Miller time. I'm out of here. We don't do that. Many of the jobs that we do because that's who we are and we get the job done. Jesus tells this other parable as well here in our gospel reading this morning about the servant. The servant's out there working in the field all day. And then he's got to come in at the end of the day. He's got to fix supper. He's got to get all cleaned up and change clothes so that he's in proper dinner attire. And then he serves his master. He's there and he waits until his master finishes eating. Then he has to clean up. And then that servant is able to sit down and finally have his supper. And if there's any time left after that, then he can relax or probably just go straight to bed because it's all going to start all over once again. And the whole thing of it is, he's not even told thank you for what he's done. But that's simply what a servant does. That's simply his job. That's who he is, and so he takes care of it. That's the job that he does. We think, we watch news stories or different things, and a disaster happens, and say a fire is burning in a building, and so a fireman rushes into the building, and he saves several people, and he comes out, and later on, then he's being interviewed, and they said, "You're a hero," and the fireman says, "No, I'm not a hero. That's simply what I signed up to do. That's who I am. That's my job, is to put my own life at risk to go in and help save people." It's just simply who he is. Or think about Jesus himself. Jesus didn't stop short. He gave it everything he had. He didn't get to the Garden of Gethsemane and say, "Well, the soldiers are coming pretty quick. It's about time to hide." When he was arrested, he didn't fight. When he was put on trial, he didn't defend himself. He had a mission to do. God had sent him into this world to bring salvation. God had set this plan in motion, and Jesus was following the plan. He didn't back out. When he was condemned to death and carrying his cross down the streets, he didn't just drop the cross and squeeze through the crowd and got away. No, he went through it. He followed it all the way through. He went to the cross for our salvation, and he rose from the dead to bring us new life. I know many of us also have professions or do things that we make sure that it has to get done before we're done. Like I said, the surgeon has to continue on until he is finished, until he knows that a patient has a good chance of recovery. The fireman does what they need to do. The policeman does the same thing. Farmers and ranchers also have to work odd hours or they finish long days to make sure that it's done. I worked on farms and ranches when I was younger and did a lot of hay hauling. And I remember one time that the storm was predicted to come in later that evening, and we had hay on the field. And so the baler got busy and started chunking out bales, and we got the tractor and the trailer and started picking up bales right after the baler put them down. And we could look off in the distance and see the tops of the clouds. And then later on, the clouds were getting closer, and then it started to get dark, and you could see the lightning flashes starting to light up the sky. And as we watched, those clouds kept on getting closer and closer, and it was very ominous. And I think it was about 10 o'clock that evening then that we picked up the final bell. And then as soon as we got the trailer into the barn, the rain started coming down. You do what you have to do to get it done. And that's what Jesus calls us to do. As Christians, that is exactly what we are called to do, is to do until we get it done. God gives us commissions. He gives us missions to go and proclaim the gospel. And that's in any way, form that we can, to teach, to baptize, to be there for other people, to help heal people, to comfort people, to help the needy, to visit the lonely. We're there as Christians to work. And we're not on a clock because we are Christians 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's in our nature. It's just simply who we are. We are Christians. And the thing is that there is joy in doing that ministry. There is a sense of fulfillment as our faith increases. I think about that story of the Good Samaritan. That, a man was beaten and robbed and left on the highway to die. And then the priest and the Levite came by and they saw him and they just passed by on the other side. Did the priest and the Levite do anything to hurt that man who was beaten and robbed? They didn't beat him. They didn't rob him. In our confession this morning, we said, we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done, but then by what we have left undone. The priest and the Levite left that opportunity slide by. They let that opportunity of helping somebody be lost, and it was undone. It was left undone. But it was the Samaritan who came by, picked him up, cleaned his wounds, put him on his animal, and brought him back in the town, found him a place to stay, and made sure that his wounds would be taken care of. We see opportunities. Many times we just walk on by. We don't take them. We don't take those opportunities. But those opportunities are there. They're there for us to do ministry. It's maybe somebody hurting. Maybe somebody needing a little bit of help. Maybe it's something going on here around the church that we need some help. We need some leadership. We need some direction. Or we just need extra hands. There's opportunities everywhere. Anywhere you look around, there's always opportunities to do some ministry. Even if it's just talking with somebody and sharing with them what your faith means to you in your life. And as you go through these things, as you take those opportunities, that's how your faith increases. You get stronger in your faith, and you learn of the joy that comes with doing ministry. And if you want to go a step even further, it's looking for new opportunities. Even if you don't see obvious opportunities, is to go out actually searching for new opportunities in order to do ministry. And that is truly then when your faith starts to increase, when you're actively seeking out ways to serve God, not just being thrust into them, not just saying, well, maybe I ought to go help, but actually seeking out those places where you can help someone else and help bring in that kingdom of God. The disciples cried out, increase our faith. And that's a wonderful prayer to have. Increase our faith. Help us to help bring in this kingdom of God. Help us to follow Christ. Help us to see those gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to us. Help us to exercise and to use those gifts. Increase our faith. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.